with vigor.
Don't get that nail caught in there. I know. All right.
Very cool.
All right. Welcome to Security Get Ready with Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
My name's Andrew Avanesian.
What's the name of your company?
Avecto Limited.
Avecto. Can you spell that for me?
Yeah, it's A-V-E-C-T-O.
And .com?
It's .com.
Okay. And what do you guys do?
So we're an endpoint security company that enables organizations to get the balance right between security on one side and freedom on the other. Because what we often find is if security gets in the way of a user's ability to do the job, then
they stop
be weakened.
They stop using it.
They don't use it, or they tone it down, and they tone it down to the point where they make compromises, and then threats get
through. It's a balancing act, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we similar to physical security as well, right?
Well, it's very similar. I mean, when I turn on access control at Fox, where they hadn't had it for 50 years,
yeah.
I almost got my head cut off.
It took me
about 4 months for people to adopt it as a corporate culture.
Yeah,
right.
It's a shifting culture is what you have to
but
do.
But see, in the IT stuff, I'm not getting why people aren't adopting security as the IT culture. It's weird.
Because it's not an enabler. That's the problem. It gets in the way. Okay. So security needs to be an enablement for the end user, and they need to see it as their friend almost, and they don't.
How do you guys accomplish that?
Yeah. So if you look at all the threats that organizations are seeing day in, day out, a lot of the fundamentals of those threats haven't changed in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years.
Right.
They're just kind of recycled, rinse and repeat threats. And everyone goes on about advanced persistent threats and kind of next-gen detection and things like that. But actually, you get the basics right, the security foundations right, you can stop a lot of these threats getting in there in the first place.
So we
typically approach things by doing three core things, really. Mm-hmm. One, we make sure you've only got least privilege to the tools, technology, and the data that you need. And we enable organizations to get least privilege right. We then stop payloads from executing, so attackers' payloads from even running. If you don't know about something, you block it. But traditionally, that's been difficult to do, because how do I know whether something is good or bad? And we make that easy for organizations.
Well, what I say to people is, if you send me an email and I don't answer, call me.
Yeah.
And if I think it's suspicious, I just delete it. Yeah. I don't even go clear.
So what we do with those is we sandbox those unknown emails and we run them in an environment that can't get access to your data, your crown jewels.
Oh, okay.
Because it's protected in the sandbox, right?
Yeah.
But before that, you're actually implementing just controls to take your threat landscape from here to here, right?
So imagine you walk into an organization, we'd see this day in, day out. Everybody's got admin rights to their machine, so they can store what they want, they can do what they want,
sure.
They can render that machine useless. And if a piece of malware gets on there, so can a piece of malware. So the first thing we do is take admin rights off everyone to those machines.
Mm.
And you mitigate 85% of the security vulnerabilities in Windows doing that. So you massively...
85?
Just by limiting the capabilities of the individual users.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But what happens is they can't do their job then. And then they push back on IT, then they push back on the CISO, and then it's weakened, and we stop that happening. So you've got great user experience, but with a security foundation.
Interesting. So what's the biggest takeaway that you're trying to accomplish here at Black Hat that people are going to learn about your organization? What makes you all different?
Prevention's possible. We reduce the attack surface of the endpoint.
Okay.
We're not bothered about detection. We're not trying to find out whether something's good or bad. We're going to reduce the attack surface and protect you from those bad payloads in email attachments like you mentioned there,
yeah.
Or you surf a website you don't know, we're going to protect you by default. We're not trying to detect whether a piece of code is good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to protect you by default. We're going to sandbox that code.
It is a simple concept.
Yeah.
It is.
And it's kind of a basic physical security model as well.
Yeah.
The first answer in any access control should be no.
Yeah.
I want to come in, nope.
Yeah, yeah.
But how they wind up happening is the first answer is yes. I have a card, yes.
Yeah.
And I always thought, I don't care if I have a card. I'm
right.
still
yeah.
saying no
right.
until
yeah.
I figure out something else to make sure you're
yeah.
good. So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, it's like you said, everybody has implemented, 5-10 years ago, everybody was worried about just being hacked in general, putting in all the hardware controls, and now it's getting into that next level.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that there's so much effort into trying to figure out the next step of these hackers. Why don't you just limit their capabilities
and
in your organization, right?
If you look at an attack chain, first thing a hacker's going to try and do is execute a payload.
Mm.
If it can't execute a payload, it can't execute its attack.
Mm.
If it can execute the payload, then it's going to try and bed deep into the system by leveraging privileges that the user's got.
Right.
And then it's
moving
going to
around vertically, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So then the other thing that you need to think about as well is fileless malware. Things, trusted applications. So everyone trusts Office, everyone trusts IE, everyone trusts PowerShell and things like that.
Yeah.
We're finding ransomware now exploiting those known applications.
Oh, interesting.
So, if you execute a payload with a PowerShell script,
mm-hmm.
well, if you're an AV vendor, PowerShell's a trusted Microsoft application, so you're not going to pick that up, but you might end up where your data's been encrypted and then the bad guys are selling it back to you. Whereas what we do is protect trusted applications as well by running them in that sandboxed isolation.
Oh, interesting.
Ransomware's
we heard a guy
huge.
Were you in the show where you were talking about the The mac- no, you weren't here. The macros are coming back.
No, I wasn't in
no,
that.
No, that's absolutely.
That. The Melissa-type virus is kind of a bad reel. Like, wow,
yeah,
the
macro
easier.
Virus was a bit of a 90s thing, but it's, you know, it's coming back now.
It's cycling in. So let's talk about malware a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned it. There's a lot of differing opinions on it, but one thing is consistent is that it's the number one attack that's getting used out there. How are you guys attacking that? How are you preventing?
So if you go around this center to the business hall today, you'll see lots of the same messages. It'll all be about next-gen detection or detecting indicators of compromise.
Sure.
The key thing is you're always going to be 2, 3, 4 steps behind the bad guys.
Right.
Because you don't know what they're going to try and do next.
And if you try to do it, they're going to figure out something new anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So and they're testing their payloads against your kit, your AV solution, your next-gen whatever it is.
Right.
And then you see all these vendors with, you know, we detect 99% of threats and things. Well, McAfee see 470,000 threats a day. 1% of that is nearly 5,000. It only takes one threat to cause a massive breach.
Right.
So what we're saying is you take privileges away from people so they can only have minimum privileges to their machines, but then through our technology, we right-size the roles and needs for that user so they can install what they need to, they can run what they need to, then we block unknown payloads. So if you don't know about it, we're going to block it from coming in, just like you saying the defaults no.
Yeah, sure.
And then trusted apps like Office, like IE, like PowerPoint, whatever it is, we're going to run those in an isolated environment. So if something does exploit a macro, for example, it's going to be
contained.
It's contained, and it can't get access to your data.
Because you also put in the controls. Right?
Yeah.
See, to me, this is a common sense approach.
Yeah.
There's an IT component of the technologies there, but the core thought is common sense.
Yeah.
Just limit your... It's like if you're facing the bad guy, just limit yourself like turning a little bit. I mean, that's what we're really
doing. It's getting
the
foundations right. Yeah. That's what we're all about.
Changing the landscape.
If anybody thinks that their email is the end-all communication device and, I have to get all my email because what if I miss something?
Yeah.
Then you're an idiot. Okay?
Yeah.
Because it's only one form of communication and you can verify it some other way. So
someone said to me, they said, Andy, we're not interested necessarily protecting against bad apples within my organization. They want to protect against stupid apples. You know,
I haven't heard that one before.
That's a good one.
You know, the people that click on anything. And
no, there's about seven. We heard in a briefing this week, about 22% of people that get phished or attacked, they thought something was up. 17% of them said, I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't even know that I got that I clicked on that ransomware or that phishing email.
Yeah.
It's just there's that small percentage of people it's the stupid apples, right?
And we want people to have a frictionless user experience that just works for them. They don't know we're in the way.
Right.
Because it's completely seamless to
you. But that's a dance, you know, right? If you implement too much controls, they're going to give you feedback. So it's a constant moving,
target. That's our kind of USP, really. That's our unique selling point. We kind of help organizations bridge that
figure
gap.
Figure that out,
between those two polarized opposites of security on one side and freedom on the other. You know, if you've got your endpoints are secure, if you case them in a concrete box and throw them in the lake, but you can't use them, you know? And then if you allow people to do what they want, where they want, from anywhere... Because the perimeter doesn't exist anymore. People work in Starbucks. People work in hotels.
There is no perimeter. That's correct.
No, so you can't rely on network-based detection solutions anymore.
So
because
you're saying go straight to the user end.
So that's where the bad guys are trying to get to, which is the endpoint. That's where your data's accessed from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the stupid apples are that can be duped into clicking something.
It's actually really interesting. I mean, you're looking at defense in a totally, a lot more manageable manner. Just, more of a defense.
It's different than what we've heard so far.
Yeah, and this is what, number
53. 53 shows.
Prevention is possible without getting in the way of someone's ability to do the job, and that is it, really.
That's great.
Where are you from?
I'm from the UK.
So if I say brilliant, you know what that means.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean the same to Americans, but it is brilliant, I think.
Yeah.
Very simple. So Andrew, thanks for coming on.
Thanks
for
your time,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anytime you have an update, want to do a 60-minute show, just let us know. We'll get you on. We can Skype it from the UK.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.